Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 101, paragraph 4. Which begins, "You will note that we made an important qualification." Our readers today are Nancy T. on the 12 Steps, Susan S. I. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Penny L. C., Stephanie L., and Liat T. D. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The share ID for yesterday, Tuesday, August 28th, 10 a.m. meeting is 11,842. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, August 29th at 7 a.m., is 11,849. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, my fellow visionaries. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy T. And Susan S. I., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Thank you. This is Susan S. I. from Florida. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group are never endorsed, financed, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such would never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I just want to thank you, Leah, for allowing me to share this whole, speak this whole month, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan S.I. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. You are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 101, the fourth paragraph down, and I will ask Penny L.C. to get us started.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. And what this paragraph says to me is that, first of all, what is that important qualification that I've made? That's discerning if I have a legitimate reason to be there. And that reflects how honest I am being with myself and my higher power. And looking at my motives. What are my intentions for going? Are they pure? Or have I got some type of ulterior motive? You know, if it's a genuine reason for going, then I have no reason not to. However, I do need to check my spiritual fitness. Do I feel connected to my higher power? You know, am I willing to pause and check in with God at any disturbance or, you know, sense of imbalance? I often think of God walking into a room ahead of me. or with me side by side, actually, and just knowing that I have that support right there with me to be able to be comfortable in whatever environment I'm walking into. And I think I need to check my inner self. If my mental obsession has been removed by my higher power, then I should feel that freedom to be able to go and be wherever there's food or any other type of distraction in terms of alcohol or especially, you know, for me, sugared substances. And to know that I need to check in with myself. Am I walking in with neutrality and with a sense of well-being? You know, there's a knowing within. I have learned that in program, in my recovery process. I have an inner knowing. And I can watch out with my honesty. Whether I've got any rationalizations or justifications going on. And then the greatest antidote to be sure that I'm in the right mode and there for the right reason is to focus on being of service, as it talks about here. Being able to check my motive, but then think about what I can bring to the situation. You know, how I can look for someone who's perhaps out of place there and feeling uncomfortable and help them to feel a bit more at ease. I can lend my hand at anything that needs to get done task-wise in the occasion. And just be willing to seek my higher power's will for me in that moment. And when I do that, I know all will be well. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Okay, who would like to share on what Penny just read?
Ginger C.
Lisa JR.
Hi, it's Meryl. I'd like to share.
Okay, one second. I have Ginger C, Lisa TR. There was someone before Lisa.
Carrie F.
Harry
S.
Hi, it's Meryl.
Meryl, and your first initial of your last name?
L.
L, okay. I think Wendy M. Anyone else?
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Ginger C, Carrie S, Lisa T.R., Meryl L., Wendy M., and Jennifer H. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you, and thank you for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I love these directions, and thank God for them. You know, I didn't get this book until 24 years of being sober and clean in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is pretty funny. And I placed myself in a position. I was so not in a spiritually fit place, and I went and I very well could have relapsed from that experience. So these directions are very loud and very clear. And I love one of our speakers. She talks about SUDs, seemingly unimportant decisions. Well, this book is telling me if I'm not in a place and I have to check my motives, why am I even going into this place? But if I'm not with this connection and I'm feeling shaky, I had better work with another than put myself in a place that potentially could get me to eat again. And that's what could happen. You know, I'm not in a good place. I see something. I have no power between me and that elbow that wants to bend, and it's going to bend and it's going to pick it up. So I have to follow this work precisely. I cannot afford to pick up that bite again. I don't think I'll get back. And it's so simple. I just stay in this book. I know my directions. And then I love, and I share this all the time with sponsees. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. Think of what you can add to it. Don't be worried about you and how you look or your outfit. Go talk to somebody and give them a compliment. tell them it's so good to see you. I really appreciate our conversation, whatever it is. But my problem is selfish, self-centered Ginger. I always want to think about me and how you're going to make me feel and add to my life. I've taken enough from this thing called life. Now, because of this fit spiritual condition and this entire psychic change, I get to go from selfish, self-centered Ginger to other-centeredness. And I think about this every time my ID tag hits the door because we have a locked building. I just think, okay, here I'm coming to work again. How can I be of service? I had someone in my office yesterday who's got diabetes, who's not doing well with her health. And I get to be of maximum service if I'm in this fit spiritual condition. And she's in trouble. She's in big trouble. So my heart gets to stay open, and I get to see how God would have me work. God, who would you have me be, and what would you have me do each and every day? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Harry S., please share with us.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Carrie S., gratefully recovered in the sunlight of the spirit in Golden, Colorado. Thanks for your service. And the word motive, one of my teachers, when I was really deep in the food, that word jumped out at me. She kept saying, well, what is your motive for being there? And you know, when I looked at it, when I actually took the time to sit and contemplate, it was so selfish. I wanted something for me. I wanted to be filled with your energy and the food and that experience. But today, I'm so grateful that, like it says in the last sentence, that we work with another instead. If we're on shaky ground, we better work with another alcoholic. And at the time when I was in the food, I was like, I don't have any time to work with other people. It is a miracle that I have so much time beyond my wildest imagination that I can work with another person and I can get out of my selfishness and help you. And I was just on the phone with a protege this morning, and she's very trepidatious about working with another person. And, you know, and I said, it'll save the day. And she's, you know, getting recovered. And now all of a sudden she's like, I want to work through the steps again. Maybe this is God giving me inspiration that I can work with another person. And that's exactly it. We go through the work over and over. And God is constantly revealing more beautiful things to me. And I don't have another recovery in me. And that's where it got me here, you know, on that losing streak. I don't have another recovery in me. But if I stay in this work and I honor this book, the reverence, with reverence and with dedication, I stay in this book, then God is constantly revealing to me just the grace and the beauty of recovery, what it's like to be recovered. And so I'm so grateful for the people that started this meeting. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Carrie S. Lisa J.R., please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland. Yes, recovered by God's grace for today. I used to be terrified. When I first recovered, I didn't think it was ever going to be possible for me to attend anyone's birthday party, simply because my number one top of the list red light food was birthday cake. I was terrified of it. So I began, as I began the journey of recovery, I have utilized the prayers, and I utilize some of them every day, but some of them I've kind of made my own. And I got into the habit of asking in the fear prayer of saying, you know, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me do. And how it really reads is what you would have me be at once we commence to outgrow fear. And I just recently thought about that, and I was thinking doing and being are just very different things. I think if I would ask God what I would be, then I would do what he would have me do to be in happy, joyous, and free and of use to others and in fit spiritual condition. That's what he would have me be. So naturally, I do the things that are pleasing to my higher power and would be of use to others. So I began to look at it that way and say, you know, this is what God would have me be in every situation, even those situations that I have tremendous fear over. And I'm happy to say that eventually people that didn't know I was in program, I had some folks over for dinner, and it was very close to my birthday, and they knew I was partial to a certain place that made a certain thing, and they brought it to my house. And I was able to actually cut it and serve it to my guests and enjoy their company and enjoy the day and enjoy just having an abstinent meal with them while they partook of my binge food and I didn't. And you know, I often say when people say, you know, come on, do it, you know, a little bit's not going to hurt you, you know, I just pull that line from Dr. Bob. I have abused the privilege so badly that I had to remove this thing from my life because it, you know, it was not good for me. So, yeah, I'm so, so grateful that I don't have to be afraid anymore. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Meryl L., please share with us.
Hi, this is Meryl L. Thank you. Thank you for the service, and thank you for being with me on my journey to freedom. And I'm so grateful that I am recovered by the grace of God just for today. And as long as I remember that I'm recovered by the grace of God, I'm usually in fit spiritual condition. It's only when I forget that I'm graced by God with this recovery that I'm not in fit spiritual condition. So for me, reading this passage reminds me, this is not about putting others in the center or putting myself in the center. This is about putting God in the center. And as long as God's in the center, I'm usually taking the right actions. When my actions aren't God-centered, then I know that I put myself or another person in the center. Putting other people in the center doesn't really work for me either, because then I start believing that they're my higher power, and I lose myself to them. And the line that really stuck out for me was, so if you're shaky, you know, don't sit around and talk about the problem. Don't get deeper into the problem. If you're really shaky, the answer that the big book tells us is, go ahead and find someone else, and there are plenty. Go ahead and find someone else who's still suffering, and don't talk to them either about the problem. Bring them the solution that's in the book. And it reminded me what Dr. Bob said, the four reasons why he goes out. And the first thing, the most important thing in my life, before anything else, is to bring this message to other people who have recovered it. Because every time I do it, he said, I take out a little more insurance for myself. So I'm still self-centered. I can't say that I'm not self-centered anymore. But today I'm taking this self-centeredness and using it for my God, to work my God-centered life. And my recovery today is the most important thing in my life. And sometimes it does look very self-centered, but I know that if I take out the time and I do the things that bring me and I take responsibility for my recovery and I stop blaming and expecting other people, this thing that looks so self-centered becomes the center for the recovery in my entire family. So I'm really, really grateful to be on this journey. I'm grateful for all of you who are here with me. And I want to wish all of us an excellent day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Meryl L. Okay, Wendy M., would you like to share with us?
Good morning, it's Wendy M., recovered gratefully in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line. Thank you, moderator, for your service. Thank you, God, for entire abstinence this morning. Thank you. still hear me?
Wendy, well, you're going in and out, Wendy.
Is it better? How's that?
Yeah, that's a little better. Thank you.
Okay, sure. So what I want to say is exactly, do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. So my entire life was about what I can get out of the occasion. A user. I used to just think, how can I use you? What can I get from you? How can I take from you? That was my entire existence, right? I was starving, not just for the food, but for everything, attention, love, and how can I get it? What's my motive? Getting stuff, right? So what's happened is I read these words and they are absolutely life-changing. They change. It's like you're entering a new world. You read these words, like, what I bring to the occasion, that's the answer. It will always be my answer. When I'm itself, the answer will always be, what can I bring to the occasion? Because it's not just a wedding, a bar, a class, you know, but it doesn't even matter, right?
Wendy, you're going out again. Not really. Can you move or something? Maybe that'll help.
Yeah. Let me move. Hang if I. Let's try this. No?
That may be better.
Is that better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what I want to say is that the miracle of this program is that we have a shift in our thinking, right? So when I see the words, what can I bring to the occasion, instantly it's like a spiritual experience, right? I've gone from Wendy's world, self, 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 to God's world. The minute I can bring something to the occasion, I am sitting in God's lap and I am doing God's will, abso-friggin-lutely, you know, because when I'm in me, it's exhausting, right? What can I get? What do they think of me? Me, 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 me. And to be of service, what can I bring to any occasion at any moment? It's a shifting consciousness. I'm either in Wendy's world or I'm in God's consciousness, right? And so what can I bring to the occasion is being with and through God, you know? And I have to also say that it says if you're shaky, work with others. Oh, yes, absolutely. I'll pick up the phone hoping somebody needs something so I can bring something to the occasion, right? And in those 15 minutes that I'm working with someone or hour or whatever it is, I'm not thinking about Wendy. What a relief. What freedom. And I'm guessing that's my time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Jennifer H., please go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
This is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in Alabama. And thanks for sharing, and I'm really grateful to you guys for being here, and I'm grateful for, it really is a manual for living, and sometimes people talk about, like, for example, there's something this week that's sort of an outside thing about recovery that people are talking about going to in my group, and I'm grateful that I know that the big book is pretty much, I just need to keep it simple. And everything I need to know about what to do and how to live is in here. And I'm just really grateful for that, and that message was carried to me, and that y'all showed me that. And then I can really see, even in these little things, you know, I stubbed my toe, whatever the thing is that happened, that I can see how these principles are working, and then share that, and nobody really laughs at me, because that's how it works, that I can see them working, and then when it's a big thing, hopefully I can do the right thing too. So I've certainly been able to experience this and it is a miracle, because my number one alcoholic food that God removed from me, you know, when I got in OA, it's there. And just the other day, my son was needing to do some social things with a friend, and one thing they like to do is go over here to this ice cream shop, and so I took him, and I really did not have any desire. But I was am able, you know, when you get the clarity and that all the crap is cleared out, I can, you know, you guys have shown me how to check in with God and know that it's not of some other motive. It's just to try to be of service to my son. And he's in an age where it's important for him to learn these social things. And now I didn't learn them because I was lost in my addiction from a very young age. So I'm just now learning a lot of these things about how to get along with friends. And I had to realize that I was having an expectation of connecting with this other boy's mom and maybe being able to have a real interaction like we have in the program, because I was thinking she might have some, you know, program stuff, even though we'd never really talked in that way. And so I felt kind of sad when she didn't even get out of the car when she came to pick up her son. But that can be a flag to me to look at that now and realize, okay, instead of then going and eating, you know, I was expecting to get something out of that. What do I need to do to take care of myself? How can I work with somebody else? You know, there's the give somebody. So I tried to make some calls that day. That was Friday, and did the best I could with that. And realized too that there's physical part. You know, is there anything on that I need to do to take care of myself and do the footwork on? You know, to keep in this fit spiritual condition so that I can keep showing up. And then just to be able to know that that was my biggest one. And birthday parties, yeah, that was the first thing out of my mouth when my first sponsor years ago was, but what about birthday parties? And so it's a miracle. So I'm very grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jennifer H. Who else would like to share?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Penny R.
Was that Penny R? Is that what
no,
I heard?
Kristen R.
Penny C.
Penny C. And Kristen R. Is that who I
guess? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay, thanks, Kristen.
Sherry K. B.
Clarice L.
Sherry K. B. And who was that after Sherry?
Charlie
Clarice
B.
L.
I'm sorry, what L?
Sarit L.
Oh, Chevy's L. Okay. And then I heard a man.
Charlie B.
Okay, great. I think we need to stop there. Okay, Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., grateful and recovered in Northern California. So do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you will bring to it. And prior to when I was in my addiction, I was always thinking, you know, what was I going to get out of it? And now in recovery, I don't think of that anymore. It kind of goes hand in hand. When I'm working this program and I'm in my recovery, I do have the freedom from food. So I don't have to fill my head with all those thoughts and ego thoughts and whatnot. It's just kind of I am looking about, you know, what can I do for other people? And the very first part of this, so our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. And I have to say that I was very fortunate. My sponsor, you know, gave me some suggestions, you know, the kind of suggestions that if you're going to jump out of an airplane, you might want to pull the ripcord suggestions. And one was that for, you know, the first 3 months that I not eat out, unless there was a special occasion and I had a legitimate reason to be there, but I had to talk to her about it first. And so I had this it wasn't a reunion, but it was something I did with people in high school, and I hadn't seen a lot of them for a couple decades. And and I wanted to go to it. I wanted to be a part of it. And so I told her about it, and she said what she wanted me to do was call the caterer and find out what was being served and make sure that it was going to work into my food plan. So I did. I called the caterer, and he, you know, he's very nice. And he said, you know, when you get here, let me know who you are. And so when I got there, I checked in, and I started talking to a group of people, and someone came up and said, oh, the caterer, excuse me, wants to talk to you. So it was kind of obvious, because it's like people were wondering why, you know, what is this? And so the caterer pulled me aside and he said, I have all your food and, you know, where are you sitting? And I showed them. And so someone did ask me about it. It's like, you know, why is the caterer talking to you? And I said, and I just said, you know, I don't like to like blurt out, oh, I'm a compulsive overeater, you know, I'm in a 12-step program. I don't do that. I know people do. But I said, I just have some food restrictions. And so when the food came, mine was different. And someone who had asked me that question was sitting across the table. And so when my food came, a person next to me said, how come you have different food? And I paused for a second, and the person across the table said, because she's special. And you know, and I have to say, sometimes doing that type of thing was a little challenging, but it was not as challenging as if I had, I mean, that was my choice. But my other choice was to go to that thing, being over 200 pounds, feeling miserable. I probably wouldn't have even gone. And obsessing about the food and not even remembering who was there. So as a compulsive overeater, those are my choices. I believe in a rigid food plan. And I can't tell you, in the last week, probably 6 people have called me and said, well, I don't want to have a rigid food plan, but they're in the food. And it's like, well, you know, you don't have a lot of choice when you're a compulsive overeater, if you're the real deal. Some of us, like me, I need that rigid food plan. So anyway, with that, I pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Reggie O., please share with us. Reggie, press star 1.
Hi. I was mixed up with my mute button. Yes, I can hear you. Good morning, Kathy, and thanks so much for your service. This is Reggie O. Out here in Los Angeles area, and I absolutely love this paragraph. You know, I realize what, for me, it's like some of the most important directions that I could be giving, because it talks about going out into occasions, which means, you know, socially with other people, et cetera. And those, yeah, historically, not all throughout my life, but historically have been a challenge for me, because I have had this self-consciousness and those kinds of situations. And, you know, and I was thinking about this about a week and a half ago, a friend of mine was having a really huge, important birthday bash for a very special birthday. And it was filled, you know, people and music and dancing and speaking and, you know, a lot of people there that I hadn't seen. And I thought, it's really interesting. And of course I was, you know, do I have a good, you know, social or personal reason for going? Absolutely. You know, this is a dear friend of mine and I really wanted to show up for her birthday. And so that was cool. And am I on solid spiritual ground? And for me, in a situation like that, for me to be on solid spiritual ground, what has been so amazingly, it's almost magical, is that to be on solid spiritual ground in these occasions like that means that I need to be thinking about what I can bring to that occasion rather than what I can get out of it, or rather than how I'm going to look or appear or this or that. And so, you know, I did some spiritual work before going, you know, really, really wanting, had a deep desire to, you know, what can I bring to my friend and what can I bring to this occasion? How can I show up for her? And it was also, a big sit-down dinner was a part of it. And you know, I did go in that spirit, and I can't remember ever having had so much fun. And I did check with, you know, about what was being served beforehand, and there were, you know, plenty of wonderful things I could eat. And you know, when it came time to eat and I got my plate, it was like there was hardly time for the food because there was so much going on, and I was enjoying so much talking to the people around me, and then there was dancing and would get up and that. And I had to go back and save my plate 2 or 3 times because everybody else had eaten and they'd cleared their plates and I hadn't finished. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a different human being at this birthday gathering, at least for today. And it was just such a, you know, such a beautiful reminder. You know, I used to think self-consciousness was, I guess it took me a long time to realize that self-consciousness is actually being very, you know, self-centered. And it's quite amazing to me, you know, this shift to, that it's not like,
removing myself from a situation when I'm other-centered, that is just the high, you know, that's just the best and highest expression that I can be of myself, you know, when I'm in any other situation, is to be other-centered and to see, you know, what I can bring or what kind of service I can be. And it's, you know, in this instance, it was just an amazing, joyful occasion all the way around. And this is an amazing paragraph. And also, you know, if you're shaky, you'd better work with another alcoholic instead. And I think, you know, I think that's important. You know, we're not, I'm not always in that full spiritual fitness. And if I am shaky, you know, I better check in before I go, you know, before I go places and either get in a good place or maybe it's time for me to do some more specific spiritual work. Yeah, I think I'm going to pass with that, but I just think this is a brilliant and deeply important paragraph with directions for living that work, and I'll pass with that.
You, Reggie O. Penny C., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. You know, so many times as we've read these paragraphs, and, oh, my gosh, I can't even begin to estimate how many times I've read it and heard it read. I wondered why the last several paragraphs in this chapter that's called Working with Others seem to be addressing me as the reader and what I should do and not addressing what I should be doing for and with the newcomer or the protege. And then I read it again, and just yesterday I said, I'm going to figure this out. And I went back to where on page 100, it says, if you have been successful in solving your own domestic problems, tell the newcomer's family how that was accomplished. In this way, you can set them on the right track without becoming critical of them. And then after that, the rest of it seems to be, you know, these are the important things you need to stress about your own recovery in order to get the newcomer to get on board with the program and to identify with you. And the first thing, the very next paragraph after telling us if you've been successful, tell the newcomer how you did it, the very first thing it says, assuming we are spiritually fit. And so I take that now to mean that that's the first thing. We don't have to preach or, you know, proselytize, but just through the way I express myself, I can display the spiritual recovery that I've been so, you know, privileged to attain. And then all the rest of the paragraphs in this chapter is telling us more or less practical, a lot of practical things. You know, don't go somewhere where you're going to lose your abstinence or your sobriety unless, you know, you're prepared. And it's just amazing how this whole book was written. And now I see the continue, you know, the continuity of going back to telling me what I should do. So much of this seems repetitious of what we've already read in the preceding chapters as far as, you know, how I myself can attain recovery and remain recovered. And again, you know, it's all about spirituality. So I just, you know, for me, this was a new way of looking at these paragraphs. Just yesterday, after all these years and multiple times reading and hearing this, you know, I'm still teachable. I am so pleased to be able to say that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Okay, we have about 7 minutes and 3 people, so I'm going to ask each of you to take 2 minutes for your share. Kristen R., please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. From Virginia. I love this paragraph, and I feel like it can be described in one word, intention. What is my intention? The first month I was in program, my husband and kids came home from a birthday party with extra birthday cake. I was furious. I was absolutely livid. How could they sit there and eat this in front of me? What were they thinking? How could they be so selfish? You know, and by the way, my daughter was one and my son was four. But my husband, how could he do that to me? After a year of being in program and working the steps, I was neutral around the food. And when I say neutral, I mean that I bake with my kids. I buy foods I used to binge on for them, and none of it calls to me. I mean, it's an absolute miracle that the problem has been removed. But the other piece of this, too, is that I have to look closely at what my intentions are around eating with my kids, because I used to use my kids to binge. I would say, I'm taking the kids to a bakery, and, you know, so I could binge. So anytime I do have to do something with the kids, you know, in terms of birthday cakes and serving birthday cakes or making, you know, cookies for the class or whatever it is, I always have to go back to what's my intention here. And if my intention is to be of service to my kids, to, you know, to provide them something, you know, that's joy in my life. And then that's not hard. And the food never calls to me. But 9 times out of 10, if my intention is to keep them quiet or to, you know, to get some vicarious pleasure out of watching them eat, then it's not service. It's not what I should be doing. And I should go and make some phone calls and work with another compulsive eater, or else I'm in danger of relapse. So, again, it all comes back to intention. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen R. Sarit L., please go ahead with a 2-minute share. Thank you. Sarit?
Do you hear me? It's Sarit L.
Now I can, yes. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for your service. It's Sarit L. from Montreal. I'll try to be quick. I'm just, I've been feeling unwell for a while, and I'm finally getting back to myself. And I've been on the other side of the coin where a lot of people have been of service to me. And I had to rethink my intention when I traveled just this past week to get help for myself and the kids. Where was my intention? And my friends were all worried because Sarit doesn't just get up and travel. I don't do that. I rarely ever go and leave my four walls, because for me, recovery is so much more maintained in my own house. And I feel that I get shaky in other places. But I did check in. I checked in with my higher power. I checked in with my sponsor. And for health reasons, I had to pick up and go. And I was not of service like I could completely be. But when I was a service to my sponsees, and I was a service and to outreach calls. And it was just, thank God that he was able to bring me people who are struggling in the disease, because I was able to hear their stories. They're fighting the mental obsession, and to be so grateful that I'm not in that place. And boy, do I remember what that was like, crying. My husband would leave to work and I would just stay at home and just be begging God to remove the mental obsession and crawling the walls. And that was my story too. And can I relate? Yes, I so can relate, but thank God I'm on the other side today. And I don't fight the food today. My daughter's birthday cake was a $40 birthday cake for her 5-year birthday. And I remember telling my sponsor, I'm bringing it home for my husband. And she said, oh, no, you don't. You throw it out the window. And I was crying. And she said, you throw it out the window. And it was cold and wintry in Montreal with snow outside. I threw that cake out the window. And my husband was not impressed when I did not bring him cake. But those were the precautionary measures that I had to take for myself. Because on day 2 of abstinence, I am sure bound to eat that birthday cake. And today I don't have to fight the food, thank you, God. And I can be present to the family as much as I can in the state that I am right now. And that's just what I wanted to share. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarit L. And our last share will be Charlie B. Please share, Charlie, for 2 minutes.
Good morning, visionaries. Yes, Charlie B. recovered overeater in New York, and I wanted to just stress the to me what this chapter meant in this paragraph. I mean, to be around food is a temptation, and to be around temptation when I have not fully worked the program in the past was very hard. I would walk by, you know, I would constantly be putting myself in situations, and I wouldn't sometimes have a choice. But the choice was that I had made was to reach for that food that was on my abstinent list and start eating it. And it was not until I really worked this program as a whole and really went through all 12 steps with my sponsor that and my higher power, embracing my higher power, that I really felt I can now be in this environment and it not affect me. And, you know, that has now been the case, and I have been recovered, and as someone else said, food neutral for a while, and it's such a great place. Because what I had found is through my program, it had helped with my emotional trigger. And I always found, and someone else had said that they travel, and that it has been my job, has been to travel, you know, constantly and be in different hotels in different states. And it's so easy to feel alone and want to eat because my emotions and the feeling of loneliness and being away from my family, you know, triggered to go into food as comfort. And I don't have that anymore. So I'm constantly being put in an environment, and through my program have really conquered that. And it's such a great feeling to really say, you know, is that something I must do? It is. And now I can handle that. I can be put in the environment and not want to have that food. And the same thing with kids. I have younger kids that constantly would eat when we went out to dinner these foods that were abstinent to me. And it was so, I was white knuckling it for so long at the beginning, and especially when you started going through the program and you haven't really gotten through it all, it could really cause you to have a relapse. So I kind of stayed as far away as I could until I was able to complete my program and now have become food neutral. It's such a great feeling of freedom to have. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charlie B. And thank you to everyone who shared today and those who listened. This was a great meeting, and I appreciate all of you for being here. A special thank you to Nancy T, and S.I., Penny L.C., Stephanie L., and Liat T.D. waiting in the wings for your service as well. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Stephanie L., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.